Reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, starting at verse 11, and you'll find it on page 1049 of the Church Bibles. Acts 16, verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Verse 40, after Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the believers and encouraged them. Then they left.
Thank you, John. Good evening, everyone. It's not morning, is it? It's evening. Is it? Everyone's not still sleepy. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to see you. It's great to be here. Continuing our series of transformation, and we're looking today at the life of Lydia. And in the last few decades, that have witnessed the rise of many so-called liberation movements. And their goal, supposedly, is to free people from oppression and equality and elevate them to a higher status. Only then, they argue, can people's lives be truly transformed, and only then can they be truly fulfilled. However, all these movements fall short of their promise without exception, because no movement that rearranges people's social status yet does absolutely nothing to change their hearts, can ever truly be liberating. And the Bible says there is actually only one way to experience genuine freedom, genuine true liberation and transformation, and that is to have a heart set free from the control of sin. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Only God can open and transform a human heart that is resistant to him, and only God can make it soft and receptive towards his ways. The Bible calls this a spiritual rebirth, or being born again. And only through the complete transformation of this new birth can true lasting fulfillment arrive. The Bible tells us that God is continually seeking after us to bring about this transformation. And as you read through the Bible, it's full of encounters that have been instigated by God, where he seeks to open up people's hearts so they can receive this new spiritual birth in Jesus Christ. In our reading today, we hear of a woman named Lydia who had such an encounter, a God-instigated encounter. And we're told that her heart was opened up by God, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ. We read that Paul and Silas, we read that Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey in Philippi, where they encountered Lydia near a river. It was an encounter that was to completely transform the life of Lydia. Lydia was probably most likely of Greek origin, and she was almost certainly an influential, wealthy businesswoman who dealt in valuable purple cloth. Purple was extremely rare because of the great cost involved to manufacture the dye. So Lydia's cloth was in very, very high demand. Purple was also very fashionable, and it was the colour of royalty and dignitaries. So these would have been the type of people that were Lydia's clients. It would have been all the hoi polloi of today and the major stars of show business and royalty around the world. They would have been her customers. Lydia is also described as a worshipper of God. And what this tells us is that at some point, she became a religious woman. However, being religious is not the same as knowing God personally. But she did have a heart that was genuinely seeking after God. And the Bible says, the Bible promises, that if we seek, we will find. If we knock on the door of salvation, it will be open to us. Everybody who truly seeks will find God. That's the promise. In saying that, it's always God. It's important to know that it's always God who first seeks us. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." This was a God-engineered encounter with Lydia and this missionary team of Paul and Silas, who had made a huge diversion. They were going somewhere else, and they diverted their journey by hundreds and hundreds of miles, even crossing the sea, to come to where Lydia was, because the Spirit had diverted them towards where Lydia was, just for that one person. And for some of you today, this service, this night, is a God-engineered encounter. God will be reaching out to you. And for some of you, your hearts will be touched or opened, just as Lydia's was, either for the first time to the things of God, or they'll be warmed afresh to the things of God. And the question for you tonight will be, the question that you will face by the end of this evening is, how will you respond to this prompting by God? How will I respond to the Spirit's prompting in me this evening? If you choose to come to Christ in whatever way he prompts you, he will receive you with open arms. John 6, Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly never cast out." Never cast out. God will never turn away a seeking heart. Never. And when Paul and Silas, back to Lydia and the river, when Paul and Silas were found Lydia and her household by the river, they were given an opportunity to speak. So they shared Jesus Christ. They didn't hesitate to share Jesus Christ with them, with Lydia. And we're told that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Not Paul, not Silas, but the Lord opened Lydia's heart. As Lydia listened to Paul, her eyes were opened to see and receive God in a whole new way. And she found herself drawn to this Jesus with her heart wide open, desiring to embrace him. This was a strong, independent, hard-nosed businesswoman who was very much in control of her life. And then she suddenly realizes that her life's foundations are actually quite shallow and fragile. And she recognizes her need of forgiveness, and she recognizes her need of Jesus Christ. And as she sat there, she found herself no longer wanting to control her own life, but instead wanting Jesus to be in charge. So Lydia gave her life over to Jesus Christ, and she becomes the first recorded Christian convert in Europe. A Greek. Great, isn't it? And the opening of Lydia's heart to Christ then led her to opening up her home. That was a follow-on from led her to just open up her home, give it over. And she urges the missionaries to accept her hospitality, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." Her home was a statement of her wealth and her success, as is the case with many wealthy people. It would have been one of the finer homes in Philippi. We've got it up there. It is. Look at that. It's not bad, is it? It would have been something like that, or the equivalent of in that time. But Lydia now expressed her new life by inviting the missionaries, Paul and Silas and their team, to come and make her home the base of their mission outreach for the surrounding area and for Europe. Lydia's transformation causes her to see beyond her wealth and beyond her position and to the greater need of advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she decides to use her gifts and her possessions to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lydia's hospitality and her open home were now a hallmark of her new spiritual birth. It was her way of partnering this missionary team and helping them to spread the gospel. And her home became the first church in Philippi and Europe. And when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's always because God has been working behind the scenes. Yes, you have made a prayer. Yes, you have asked Christ into your life. But how did you get to that place? How did you get to that moment where you professed faith in Jesus Christ? What happened? God was working behind the scenes of your life, opening your mind, warming up your heart, breathing new life into your soul. That's what new birth is. And 1 Peter 1 says, "Praise be to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead." And when the Bible speaks of new birth, it means that God has brought a deep change at the very center of your being. And that's what happened to Lydia. And I want us this evening to very briefly now look at three things that happened to Lydia when God opened her heart to receive Jesus Christ, that are also true of you if you're a follower of Jesus here this evening. That he gave her a new mindset and values, he gave her a new desire, and he gave her a new capacity. And it's exactly what he gives you if you're a follower of Christ this evening. I just want to unpack that very briefly. First of all, a new mindset and values. God created you with your own unique gifts, your own personality, your abilities, and when you become a Christian, none of that changes. God has blessed you with a unique, God-given personality and gifts and abilities. That doesn't change when you become a Christian. You know, some Christians, I used to be a street trader, and I used to get ridiculed a lot because I always used to think Christians were weird, and they're probably right to a large degree, but they were weird, and all the Christian women used to wear like headscarves and clothes from the 1920s or something, and all the men wore, apologies to men who wear socks with sandals, but they all wore socks with sandals and funny looking shorts and whatever, and that was their image of Christianity. And if I said we had young trendy people and nice young girls in the church, they used to think, yeah, right, pull the other leg. You know, all Christians are weird, all of them. And some non-Christians look at some weird Christians, because some of them are, and they look at these weird Christians and they say, well, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't want to end up being a Christian. But the fact is that the weird Christian was probably a weird non-Christian as well. That doesn't change. You are who you are, and God never intended you to spend your life trying to be somebody else. Shine on believers become shy believers. Extrovert non-believers become extrovert believers. Cautious non-believers become cautious believers. Practical joke, if you're a practical joker as a non-believer, you'll be a practical joker as a Christian. If you're a cool non-Christian, as I was, then you become a cool Christian like I am. But what has happened is that a life of sin has ended up corrupting your God-given personality and nature, whether you realize it or not. And what God sets about doing is redeeming that personality and clearing out all the infection and making it more and more Christ-like. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to master your own God-given personality and to overcome the effects of sin within that personality. Things like that would have crept in, like pride, anger, greed, lust, sexual immorality, jealousy, and so on and so on. God takes your unique individuality, which you retain, but he just cleans up the bits that have been corrupted and polluted by sin, and he gives you a new mindset and he gives you new values so that you can now begin to live for his glory and you can now begin to love the things that God loves. God has made us all in his image, and yet he has never made two of us exactly the same. Every single one of us is unique. There is no other person in the world quite like you. That doesn't change when you become a Christian. It just gets cleaned up a little bit. So new mindset and new values. The second thing that you receive when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, when you're born again, you enter this new birth, is new desires. When you receive your new nature, you also receive new desire. A new desire, because the type of nature you are determines the desires that you have. So cats have a desire for what cats love. It's in their nature. Dogs have a desire for what dogs love. It's in their nature. Wrongdoers or sinners have a desire for what sinners love. That's what I had before I was a Christian. And those who have been born again in Christ now have a desire for what Christ loves. That changes. Now, this doesn't mean that when you become a Christian, you no longer struggle with the desires of the old nature, because clearly we do, all of us. We continue to live in a fallen world, and we will often find ourselves drawn to the things that are displeasing to God. But the difference is that they are now no longer the deepest desires or longings of our heart in the way that they used to be. Your deepest desires and longings are now those of Christ, even though you may mess up sometimes. The old person died, and the new has arrived, and you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. I may have shared this example with you before, but I'll share it again. If you've heard it before, it won't hurt to hear it again. But over and over again, especially with new Christians, I have come to them and they say, "My Christianity is a lie. It's a lie. I'm not really a Christian. I thought I was, gave my life to Christ, made a commitment, but actually, I'm not a new creation. I'm just the same old rubbish. I still think like I do. I still do some of the things that I do. They still attract me. They still draw. I'm still drawn by them. I'm just still the same old rubbish, and it's tearing me apart. I'm giving up. I just failed. I'm not cut out for this Christian lark." And I say, "Okay, well, hold on a sec. Let's unpack this. So what you're saying to me is that this thing that you enjoy, this thing that you're attracted to, this thing that you're struggling with, before you gave your life to Christ, you were quite happy to do all that stuff and it never bothered you at all. Yeah, that's right. But now since you've given your life to Christ, whenever you think like that or whenever you slip up and do those things, you hate it and it's tearing you apart and you're really uncomfortable with it. Is that right?" "Yeah, it's tearing me apart. I just hate it." And I say, "Well, why do you think that is? What has happened in your life? Have you not seen a shift here? You used to wallow and love and not even see it as sin before. But now it's tearing you apart because you recognize it as wrong. And that's the difference. It doesn't mean that you won't be drawn. It doesn't mean that you won't slip up sometimes. The difference is now you know the difference. You know that it's wrong. And it bugs you and it bothers you and it tears you apart when you slip up because you have a new desire and a new nature. You have the God-given desire and nature now. You have the same DNA as Jesus Christ. And because it bothers him, it now bothers you. And that is a genuine hallmark of your new spiritual birth. Through the new birth, God creates in you a desire to know him, to please him, and to follow him. And that's what cuts you up when you fail. Because you have this new desire and this new nature. And thirdly and finally, God gives you a new capacity in the new birth. He gives you a new capacity to live the life that God calls you to. Yes, you will slip up. Yes, you will fall along the way. I do so every single week, every single day. And often I say, "I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to, I've got the hang of that now. I've got a handle on that. Bosh. Pride comes before a fall. Bang on my face again. I thought I'd lick that. I thought I wouldn't say that. I thought I would never do that again. You slip up, you fall along the way, but generally speaking, you are living in a way that you did not have the strength or capacity to before. I often look back at my old life. I keep old diaries that I was advised by my pastor to keep when I was going to try and burn them. And he said, no, keep them and look back, he said, and they will remind you, there will be a constant reminder of what you were like. And as you look at where you are now, you'll see all that Christ has done to you. And I often look back and I think, gosh, was that really me? Was that really, really me? When I'm a bit discouraged in my Christian life, I read back on these diaries and I think, I can't believe I said those things, did those things, lived like that. I can't believe it. And I think, well, maybe God has done something in my life after all. I have moved on a bit. But you have a new capacity that you never had before. Dogs don't have a capacity to fly. Fish don't have the capacity to run. Wrongdoers don't have the capacity to obey the laws of God. And that used to be your position. That used to be you. But when God opened your heart, you were born again. God's Spirit came to live in you, giving you not only the desire to live the new life, but also the capacity. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 gives a whole list of things that we used to be before the new birth. It says, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor practicing homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. That is certainly some of the things that I was. I was a number of those things listed there. But then he goes on to say, but, that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That is what happened to you when you came to Christ. That is what you were, this is what has happened to you now. Now don't think for a moment that all this had anything to do with you. Don't think for a moment that all this is because you are better or stronger or more disciplined than anybody else. It was God that sought and opened Lydia's heart and gave her the capacity to love and serve him with all her heart. And it is God in his great love and in his great mercy that has opened your heart to receive Jesus Christ. God breathed new life into you. You were dead and helpless in your wrongdoing. And a dead person doesn't have the capacity to do anything. Why? Because they're dead. They're dead. You did not and could not contribute to your spiritual birth any more than you could your physical birth. The only explanation for the miracle of new birth lies in the mercy of God. The reason that you see the glory of Jesus is because he has opened your eyes. The reason you love Christ, even though you may think it's only fickle, the reason that you love Christ is because he has opened your heart. The reason you want to follow Jesus with all your struggles and failings is because he has given you that desire. God, in his great mercy, has touched and changed your life. God has been merciful to me, a helpless sinner. God does it all. It's no secret to most of you that I love Alpha. Probably much to the dismay and disgust of other ministry leaders here, I think Alpha is the greatest ministry in the church. And the reason I think it is because every single Alpha course is an overwhelming success. Every single one without fail. And the reason that it's a success, and I say this to the Alpha team at the beginning, I said after the first week or two, the reason it is because within the first week, or certainly within the second week, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached. We let people know who Jesus is and why Jesus died. And that is it. Our job is done. We have preached the gospel. From then on, conversion, opening of hearts, softening of hearts is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the gospel has been preached, and that is what we're called to do. The conversion is none of our business. I cannot convert anybody or persuade anybody to become a Christian, however hard I try. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And this is what we're talking about here tonight. And this is what happened to Lydia. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Silas that converted her. It was the Spirit of God that opened up her heart. So I want to release you if you think that you have to convert people. All you have to do is just share Jesus with them and then just trust the Spirit of God to do the supernatural stuff in their lives. So God in his great mercy has touched and changed your life, been merciful to me, a hopeless sinner and a helpless sinner. But it actually gets better than that. If you're a Christian, it gets even better, because your new birth means that you're a child of God and now you're part of his family. And as part of God's family, that means you now share the family inheritance. That's what happens in families, isn't it? You share the family inheritance and the wonderful gift of eternal life in heaven. That is your destination. You're just passing through here. The best is yet to come. This is nothing compared to what's in store for you, what your inheritance has. And God will keep that inheritance, the Bible tells us, for you until the day Christ returns and gathers the entire Christian family and brings us all into the immediate presence of God himself. 1 Peter 1 says, you have been born again into what? Into the inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. It's kept in heaven for you. You are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And it's wonderfully reassuring to know that God is keeping a place in heaven for you. The reservation is made, it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross. But the wonderful thing is, the incredible thing is, that God not only keeps your inheritance for you, he also keeps you for the inheritance. Because 1 Peter 1:5 says also, you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God is keeping you and holding you for that time when you'll be receiving your inheritance. So if you're a Christian here this evening, and if you've ever wrongly feared losing your salvation, you need to hear this. God wants you to know that your salvation does not depend on your ability to hold on to Christ, but on Christ's ability to hold on to you. It doesn't depend on the strength of your hand, but on the strength of his hand. And his hand is stronger than yours. And he will hold on to you, even when yours lets go or can't hold on. And that's the basis of our Christian confidence and assurance. Christ is keeping an inheritance for you, and he's keeping you for the inheritance. Picture Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I'm dribbling, it's my age. Yes, sorry. Picture Jesus Christ with his hands outstretched. In the one hand, he holds your inheritance. In the other, he holds you. That's what we just read in 1 Peter 1. Both are safe in his hands because his hands are everlasting. And when he returns, he will bring the two together. And the inheritance will be yours for all eternity. And you will enter the presence of Jesus with great joy. And there you will discover the full value of your new life in Jesus Christ. So as we conclude, in his great mercy, God has opened, if you're a believer here this evening, God has opened your heart and he's given you new birth. He's done it. God was always working behind the scenes. and he continues to be at work in your life, even this evening. Never underestimate the miracle of what God has done in bringing you to faith in Jesus Christ. So can you see why Lydia was so excited by the transformation of her life, that she was prepared to give her life and her home over as a base for the missionary team to use to help transform the rest of Europe? And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this evening, my question to you is, why aren't you? Why? Why would you not want all the things that have been described this evening? Why would you not want that? What could be better? Friends, if you sense this evening that God has touched you, that God has opened your heart, if you find that somehow you're drawn to the message of Jesus and forgiveness, and that somehow submitting to God rather than doing your own thing is actually a bit scary, yeah, but it actually sounds a good thing to do, even though it's scary. If you're feeling things like that, if you're just feeling that God is prompting you in some area of your life, if you feel a sense of warming in your heart, then I have good news for you. That's God's Spirit opening, touching your heart this evening. And if this describes you and you've not responded to God's work in you, then I'd encourage you to wait no longer. Don't suppress what God is doing. Don't suppress what God is prompting you with this evening. Respond to it and receive him, just as Lydia did. And as you do, God will either give you for the first time or reaffirm what you already have this evening. A new mindset, new desire, a new nature, and a new capacity. And you will become part of God's family, and you will enjoy life to the full with him. Not just in this life, but for all eternity, in unimaginable joy and unimaginable bliss. Just want to pray and invite the band up, please, as well.